All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for August 17, 2016. Can I have the roll call, please?
Benitz?
Here.
Bird?
Kapler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty?
Here.
Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay. We had some minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes of July 20th, 2016.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the last meeting, which was July 20th, 2016. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for the 17th of August 2016. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review appropriate matters relative to plan and zone, site plans, zoning and such. So I do see a number of folks in the audience tonight. If you have input on a particular case at the appropriate time, I will note that we are taking comments from the audience and ask you to step to the podium to my right and to your left and state your name and your interest in the particular case. We have quite a long agenda tonight. I don't know who's ordering the pizza. If we're still going at 7, somebody's got to order pizza, but we've got a lot to cover tonight, so with that, we will begin.
Greg. Okay, we need, there we go.
There you go.
Mr. Chairman, this area here will be split up into six different cases for consideration, 16-062 through 16-067. And essentially, you have three rezonings and three land use amendments that are being proposed for this site that is to the north of Forest Grove Drive, south of I-80, and to the west of Middle Road. This is the land use as it exists at the present time, which is Office Research Campus right there. And this is the pending land use map showing it as UMI, which is urban medium intensity. The site, in terms of looking at it, the urban medium intensity designation outlines an intensity level here of 7 to 12 units as currently approved by the City Council. At some point, that density, I believe, has been recommended for change to one that is going to be 5 to 12 units, and that this one up here for ULI is recommended as changing from 1 to 5 units per acre. This is the topo for the area. There's a certain portion of the area that is a little bit more flat out in this area. You do have a drop off. This is where the intended detention area is anticipated, and then you have a drop off in here, and then you also have a contributing area of runoff from the adjoining parcel to the west. This is essentially the areas that are being laid out. You have this area as commercial, this area over here is multifamily, and this area is single family. Approximately 7.48% is in the commercial designation. Over here you have about 10.15% in the R5, which is the townhouse area. And the remaining area, you have 11 or 12% right here for the detention, and then 71% here. And the acreage is 41 acres approximately here. You have 7 acres there. You have 4.45 acres there, and you have 6 acres approximately here, just to give you a breakdown of the overall mixture. And then the area designated here is currently what can be sewered by connecting down here. We would have to look at what engineering drawings or types of engineering evaluation regarding any connection that may come up this direction, how that may play out when we examine any potential preliminary platting of this ground. and seeing how that might work with this particular proposal. Because this is a conditional zoning, there is an agreement that has been written for each one of these zoning designations, R3, R5, and C2. And in this packet, you will see that there is basically an agreement for each one of those zoning classifications that is contained within your packet. Staff, in reviewing the proposal, recommends the Planning and Zoning Commission use the same factors in evaluating and considering past conditional rezonings and land use amendments and recommending approval of the rezoning and land use amendments. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
Frank, could you tell me what that last statement means?
What, you mean recommendation?
Yeah.
I think what we're looking at is a transitional phase right now, like we did with some of the other, I think the one other proposal that we had. And we're basing, I think, what we're evaluating this project off of the new, or I should say the pending land use map, and making any recommendation here, making a recommendation for this. But what we want to see is that you look at the packet in terms of the agreement, and look at that agreement and evaluate what that agreement means, because it is extraordinary, just like we had with the project that was at 53rd and I believe Middle Road, because that one is also a conditional zoning. So you're going to have to look at a number of things that are within that agreement, and then also take a look at where we are in the process right now of eventually adopting this land use plan, as well as potential zoning ordinance.
Can you speak a little bit more directly to how this site plan or this arrangement would meet the future comprehensive plan designation?
Right now, we do not have any type of from what our legal counsel has said, there is not any type of fixed mixture per se of what constitutes a mixed use. And if I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn or anything, but I will let our legal counsel elaborate.
So we have we have adopted the new comprehensive plan, which includes these mixed use areas. We have not officially implemented it because we're waiting on the zoning regulations. So Greg is correct, it's a bit in limbo, but that's where the conditional zoning agreement comes in. So the applicant is agreeing to be bound by the standards that are contained within the revised comprehensive plan. So under the comprehensive plan as it exists, staff in evaluating rezoning requests is looking at the densities, and whether or not a specific proposal will meet those density standards. That was how we evaluated the project at 53rd and Middle Road, and that was how staff has been looking at this project as well. So from the density perspective, this concept plan does meet those density requirements, with the revision that Greg mentioned, reducing from 7 dwelling units per acre down to 5, which is what is going to happen through the zoning ordinance adoption, but that has not occurred officially yet. So that is one factor that I would say the commission should consider. Obviously, in any rezoning, the commission is still able to consider the particular site, the particular uses, is this compatible for that particular location? So that's sort of a separate evaluation that you folks are all able to make. But in terms of the actual density requirements under the new comprehensive plan, staff feels that this concept does meet that.
As far as density is concerned.
Correct.
Thank you.
May I ask a follow-up question then?
Sure.
We looked at this proposal previously. So what I'm hearing you say, or I'm kind of translating, mm-hmm. because the council is looking at the changes in density from the ULI and UMI, kind of shifting the boundaries there a little bit.
Right.
That's the change. This is basically coming back to, it's the same proposal we saw before.
He has added commercial, which was not there before, I believe. And so that has bumped up his density quite a bit.
Okay. So it's a combination of the two, then?
Correct.
Addition of commercial and some switches in the density levels.
Correct. I think the actual calculation was a 6 or slightly above a 6.
It's 6.22 were the units.
Right, per acre.
And that includes these townhouses. And that also, in the commercial area, you're going to have considered a ground floor type commercial with multifamily above it. That included that as well in those calculations. So two-thirds of this is going to be multifamily, and then the remaining floor, the bottom third, will be commercial.
Mm-hmm. So since we mentioned other plans that we've looked at, and I know all we're talking about tonight is land use and rezoning, but there's also some buffering issues that I think would be important to remember as we move forward. That was one of the things that was really favorable in previous developments we've looked at, that even though we had this mixed use and we had different intensities of use close to each other, they were buffered very well. And I know that's not what we're talking about tonight, but I think that's important to look at in the future.
I agree, and I guess I have a follow-up to the follow-up. So as this progresses and I look at phase one, and I'm assuming in the future it'll come to us as a site plan, or maybe that's my question, will it come to us as a site plan for only phase one, or will we see a bigger picture as this develops?
The only thing you'll see a site plan for is for the multifamily and the commercial. We don't require a site plan for the single-family residential. So we're looking at a concept plan, rezoning. Those two portions, like I said, the multifamily and the commercial, would come through the site plan review process.
Would we see a preliminary plat and a final plat?
That's correct.
Yeah. And to follow up on Bill's comments, so this concept plan will be attached to the conditional zoning agreement. So the zoning is tied to this concept. So if the concept were to change, we would have to come back with a new agreement and make those revisions formally.
I guess that's where I share a little bit of your, I'm assuming, concern, Ann, is to see how a commercial use is going to sit next to the residential. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I look at the overall plan, and I'm just commenting again for future final plats and things, it's unusual to me that the single family would be up against the interstate and you'd have multifamily down closer to the road. I'd think the mm-hmm. better fit would be to have multifamily up by the interstate, where I guess simply said, who's going to buy lots on the interstate up there for single family, but multifamily might go, but it's the developer's choice. That would be some feedback. I'd look at the design. And there's another case we've got coming later. We talk about setbacks and varying setbacks so that we don't have a monotonous looking street. We've got a street, I don't know, this is a more than a quarter mile long with no bend in it. There's maybe some opportunity for a little more, I don't know, design to it. Just for comments, but who owns, Greg, the property, or is the developer the owner of the property to the east that's kind of off this outline?
I don't know if that's Panther that owns that or not.
Different
there's
development.
Two pieces, I think, maybe. One that's sort of right here, and then the remaining right there. So there's, I believe there may be two different ownerships.
I saw a hand back there. Is that the developer?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Could you shed a little light on that? So, are you?
Is a gentleman. My name is Mr. Panther. I'm in negotiations buying that piece and also buying the little piece that is not plotted on there from Teresa Allen.
That house that's there.
Yeah. I could tie this whole thing together. So, because of that, I don't know. Teresa would like to stay there another 10 years. She has got a woodworking shop and a building out there. I don't have a problem staying there 10 years, but I can't do the final plot without getting that property secured. So I'm working diligently on trying to make that happen.
So ultimately, you would control up to, can you show on there today, all the way out to Middle Road?
Trying to buy all the way
okay.
to Middle Road, correct.
That's part of the challenge in our transition here and things coming to us in pieces, trying to see how it's all going to come together in the long run.
Right, and that's exactly why the multifamily is on the east side of that block, because it's going to be commercial beyond that.
So it's showing on the drawing here, future rezoning R5 to the east of that, so that would actually end up being commercial, not rezoning to R5.
The first 250 feet above will be rezoned multifamily for another buffer, and then that'll be R5, and then everything east of that will be commercial. So I get a nice buffer between the single family to the commercial part.
Okay. Other questions from the commission in this regard?
Chairman,
the commercial that we see where Teresa Allen's place, or the land that Teresa Allen's got, and then four lots just north of it may all be commercial, so I wrap that commercial around. Okay, where he's got the yellow now?
Yeah.
Wrap it around like this.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I think it's much more appealing conceptually to have a street buffering than commercial backing up to someone's backyard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paul?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm also a little bit concerned about what this means to the property to the west. It's so similar to what we have now in a lot of our developments that I can see the rest of this in the future just going and being more of the same, which gets us away from the concept we had of the mixed use. To me, this is kind of a, this is one way to get a mixed use, but I don't think it's what we envisioned, and I don't think it's what our consultant envisioned when we had our meetings earlier. There's very little connectivity between this area and the areas east and west. The way the property has developed south of Forest Grove, I can see that continuing to the west of this property, which gets us probably into the position that we're going to have future requests for land use changes that will get us back to single family R1. And so I'm a little bit concerned about where this is, the way this has been brought to us.
Okay. Anything else on the commission?
Greg, the sewer, how's it termed on there, the sewer ability? Will there be another line that can come in from the
east? You mean
east?
From here?
Yeah.
That's something that has to be determined in through the preliminary platting stage and through engineering drawings to see what is feasible in that matter. And that's something our city engineer would make a determination on, having seen what is provided to us as staff.
Yeah, that would have to be brought up through, I believe, two other parcels. Currently, it's just stubbed across Hopewell, so it would be out of the developer's control unless he made an agreement with those property owners.
Okay, so it's not a lift issue. It's
no, it would have the depth. Yes, it does not exist currently.
Okay, and Dale, the properties to the west, I think there's three listed there. Would those also be commercial rather than individual homes?
Oh, right here.
The
southwest
to the
corner.
West of the commercial. Those three, yeah.
Yeah.
It's this other access point.
I suggest commercial.
Yeah.
And Greg, just so for the record too, can you describe samples of uses in the proposed C2?
The C2, the reason that this would be C2 would be the commercial on the bottom, and then it would permit the two uses on top of multifamily, essentially. You can't do that in C1, but you could have a restaurant in here, you could have offices, you could have retail in there. Just plenty of what you've seen before and what has been proposed in C2. It's a more higher intensity retail that would be in there as opposed to C1. But you essentially are looking at a community. In other words, you're drawing people from outside this area to use those services, essentially.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Bill.
Just a reminder, and this gets complicated at this point because we haven't adopted the new zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. But also in the UMI, if you look at that, there is a scale of commercial and office that can exist in there. They can't come in there and drop a Walmart in, although it wouldn't fit on that lot. But there is a scale, lot coverage ratio, those types of things. So in this transitional period, we try to look at all of those things moving forward to help make our decision.
Yeah, I noted that when I was reviewing this, a mix of complementary uses, single-family housing, multifamily housing, schools, mid-sized parks, churches, commercial, and mixed use. Parks, plazas, quality streetscapes. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else in the commission? Okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case that would like to speak with us? No? Okay. Back to the commission then. And we need to take these 4, 5, and 6. So 0062, 063, and 064 together as a motion, and then 065, 66, and 67 as a motion for procedural purposes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 16-062, 63, and 64, subject to staff recommendations.
Okay, all those, I have a motion, sorry.
Second.
We have a tie.
Go ahead.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16-062, 063, and 064, subject to staff recommendations and the agreement as well. All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Point.
I'm going to vote against the motion. I think we should demand more from our developer. I think we should get something closer to what we envision. To me, this isn't creative enough. I think this is more of the same, although I do applaud the idea of the commercial with the residents on top of it, the apartments on top. I think that's a good move. I'd like to see more of the commercial. I'd like to see a little more creativity with the way the streets are laid out. But that's, unless we demand more, we're not going to get anything more than what we've been getting. So I think the new comprehensive plan asks us to be a little more demanding, and so that's why I'm going to vote against it.
Okay, well said.
I'm going to echo Paul's sentiments and indicate that I would vote the same way. I think we may have been spoiled by the people that helped us with our comprehensive plan and what they showed us and set our expectations very high. This, to me, doesn't look or feel like any of the designs that we talked about, and I understand that it is meeting the expectations, that I's have been dotted, the T's have been crossed, but I don't get that sense of community that we've been looking for. And what I see are boxes, I see straight lines, and that's not the sense I had of where we were going with this new way of doing things. I applaud the efforts to follow the new concept of bringing multi-use to us all at one time, because we have not been seeing that for quite a long time. But this isn't what I expected to see. And so I concur with Paul. I will not vote in favor.
Thank you.
Okay.
I know with the conditional zoning, there's some conditions on how much this can change, but what kind of flexibility do they have in coming up with the preliminary and the final?
So the agreement says that we understand that the street layout might change slightly, the lot lines might change slightly, but basically this overall concept will be adhered to. So kind of where the commercial is where the commercial is going to be. Where the multifamily is where the multifamily is going to be. But, you know, there might be some adjustments within that as long as those density requirements are still met.
Mm-hmm. So typically at the land use amendment or the rezoning phase, we wouldn't see a fully developed plan with all of the boxes on it. I'm just wondering if that's where we're headed with this new, are we going to be expecting our developers to come in with a more, mm-hmm. Yes?
Or I don't know. I hear your issue. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have been talking with the consultants about as we're going through the actual zoning regulations in terms of what are we requiring at which stage of the game. So hopefully once we have all of that worked out, there will be some more concrete, you know, steps in the process. But yes, that has been a concern of staff as well.
I'm somewhat sympathetic to the developers in this because it's quite of an investment.
It's a huge development.
To
yeah.
Develop
right
plans, comprehensive site plans for a site, and oftentimes they can't even purchase the property until they know that the land use amendment or rezoning is going to go through. So we're asking them to invest a lot of money. Mm-hmm. If we ask for more detail, a lot of money up front, oftentimes before they even have the property, and it seems a little bit unfair to expect that kind of a plan at this point. I'm just concerned with going forward. I know this might not be the situation here, but
right. I understand what you're saying.
I agree with everything that's been said, but based on what we've had in the past and where we want to go, it's going to take a while to get there, and we can't put all this on the back of one developer to do this now. I would like to have seen a little more curves in the streets. And maybe if he's able to get the rest of the property that he's after, maybe he will alter it some. We'll have to see. But at this point, I don't see how we can hold him up on moving forward. It's a project. It looks to me like it meets all of our guidelines. So I'll be voting in favor.
If I might. I feel like, yes, we have maybe more information than we should have, but I also think this is a good indication of what's going to be built there. This is not what we had in mind. Mm-hmm. If we don't say no now, this is what's going to happen. And what's going to happen to the property to the west? You're going to have more of this to the west. Mm-hmm. So if we don't, this is the first really project out of the gate that we have the opportunity to make people understand what we want. And if we don't do that now, then the horse is out of the gate, as they say. You know, we could have done very easily without the plans, if he had come in here with just a block drawing showing this is kind of where we want R3B, this is where it kind of, but if it had been something a little more more creative than just, you know, we got this street is going to be residential, this street's going to be high density residential, this little block's going to be, you know, if we had something more along the lines that we showed people what we wanted when this came before,
get up and talk.
Then I would be more willing to go along with it. But I feel like if we don't make known our wishes now, we won't have the opportunity in the future.
I don't disagree with you, except for the fact that we haven't completely adopted it and the ordinances aren't there. I just don't think it's fair to put this on the backs of the first developer that comes along before we actually get this all put in place.
And I think this is sending a strong message that for a preliminary and a final site plan that at least this group up here is not in favor of the way this is laid out exactly. There's a comment in the audience.
Dale, go ahead.
Dale Grunwald, the developer. I guess I'm getting confused because I'm hearing that you want it to be curved streets, not as dense, and then you're saying we want 7 to 12. I can't give you both. That's why the streets are as straight as they are, because the more I curve the streets, the more ground I have to use for the opposite lots. And then I can't get your density. If you can help me get that density, I certainly will take any suggestions you got. Just like you asked, maybe we should have commercial all the way along Forest Grove. I'll gladly do that. I'm a little bit concerned of where I am in proximity to Middle Road, because Middle Road is going to have to develop the commercial probably before this will. I mean, just you don't put a grocery store in the middle of a cornfield. You don't put a gas station unless it's on the interstate. It will grow from both ends for you, from Interstate 80 and from the south end. But at this point in time, the residential, I think I can get to grow. I think there'll be a lot more residential growing, and then that commercial will come. We can save the ground for commercial. I don't have a problem doing that. I just don't know how to, if you're asking for curved streets and more, as I would call it, curb appeal, how can I do that and keep the density? I'm open to suggestions.
Where was the density count now?
Pursuant the agreement, it's agreed to be 5 to 12.
But as 6.2. It, we're at 6.2.
He's at 6.2 currently, yes.
So we have a little room to still get down to the 5. My comments back on what I've heard as well, I would tend to agree with the whole discussion, and I'm feeling exactly like the rest of the commission here at this point. I'm concerned about being locked into this. That's the part that concerns me, but I'm also sensitive to the point that we have them come in with a detailed, essentially, site plan. But I think if there is a way to redraw this a little more creatively without these long streets, it'll look so, I'll call it tractish, if that's a word. It just became one, tractish, with there's 14 lots between even the two streets in there. Some way to make it have some interest and flow, it would be better, and still meet the constraint of not less than 5 density. That's a constraint that's real. I feel it for you. So I'm challenged being locked into this as it is, because I think it needs some tweaking. And if it's only subject to minor adjustments, then I would probably be inclined to say, no, let's take another stab at drawing a lower cost before we get into the detail, but at least conceptually something that works a little better.
Is that not something that can be considered in the preliminary plot?
It is, and staff would be happy to sit down with the developer, and we can collaborate and see if we can maybe veer some streets or something to take away that straight, your description, tract development type look.
So from a effectively, what happens then from, if that's the case, it's a more detailed, I'll call it, review of the plat, the plat,
well,
versus where does this document that's now, if it were to be approved, how do those two relate to each other?
So the zoning is tied to the concept. So to be able to be under the conditional rezoning, he would have to adhere to this concept.
So since we're not really in favor of there being houses or residential just to the west in that southwest corner.
And to the east.
That's difficult to approve the rezoning for that. Plus, it's just, we really need to have that buffer of multifamily between commercial and our residential. And the comment was said, I can put residential in now, the commercial will follow. That's the exact same comments that were made, I believe, in previous city council or planning and zoning when 18th and 53rd was being developed. And look where that got us. Mm-hmm. We're paying the price for those decisions.
Okay. Bill.
Hey, through the process, one of the things we're looking at, and I know everybody's got a little bit different slant on this. This mixed use to create neighborhoods was showing that if you keep commercial in a certain scale relative to the residential, that they could coexist together. That was a big part of our discussion we had during this comprehensive planning process. So we, as long as we follow our comprehensive plan, we're working feverishly on a zoning ordinance, even with the help of our consultant. It is a daunting task, and some of you that are on the committee understand that. We can put our protections in the ordinance. We got our protections in a comprehensive plan for what we're using as our basis for making decisions right now. We can have the tools in there. And if we do commercial buildings that don't have a backside with dumpsters and flat walls, but both sides look good, both sides look inviting, then those things can coexist together. So, and I know we all have the scars from commercial developing next to residential. We've all lived through that. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to not mandate anything, but create the ability to be able to do some of these things and actually create neighborhoods where you have commercial where people can walk out their back door and go over and get a cup of coffee or something. So just my thoughts. I just, as I hear everybody talk, I think everybody's got just a little bit different opinion on how this whole thing is going to play out.
And I agree with what you're saying, Bill. My concern is by approving this the way it is, we're now locked into that, even to the point that, well, we've got three lots over here that are adjacent to commercial. We've got four lots over here that are adjacent to commercial. And Dale's already said, I'll change that, but that's not what's going to get approved. So we've locked ourselves into something we've already agreed is not right, even from that small detail.
And the rezoning, I mean, we will have strict legal descriptions for the new zones. So to be able to go back and change that, we'd have to rezone it again. If this
rezone what we rezone.
Yeah, because this is as it's blocked on this diagram. That's a great point too, Christy.
So in the future, once we have the new zoning ordinance in place, you know, Mr. Grunewald will be able to apply to change everything to UMI, and then he has that inherent flexibility within it. But because we're not there yet, we're tied to our old zoning classifications, which do become a bit more rigid. So that is something to keep in mind.
It's a big detail, actually.
Which we don't want to penalize any developers for.
Right.
That's the whole point of the agreement. I understand that. I think I find myself, and we all anticipated this struggle with the transition from where we were to where we want to go, and how lightly will we tiptoe through that change. And Bill, you talked about the density of commercial or the intensity of it there. So we've talked about extending the commercial and including those residential lots. Is that making it even more intense? Is that causing more of a disparity between the commercial and residential?
Well, and I apologize, I don't have the comprehensive plan in front of me, but we do have, if you look at the different LMI, UMI, HMI, each one of them has a different floor area ratio of commercial buildings that can exist. So if you're in the low intensity, you might be looking at maybe 25% of the lot could be covered with building. You get into the middle, you might be looking at maybe 30 to 40%, and then high intensity, that increases. So again, we've got those ratios and those guidelines to follow. And this is not just a struggle that the Planning and Zoning Commission's had going through this process, this transition. Staff, we've been talking to Mr. Grunewald for a good year, trying to work through some of these issues ourselves. It's not easy. We're tiptoeing also.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I apologize for coming in a little late on this. I'll just address that problem. that we're not going to be dealing with residential area there. And we've talked to both commercial and residential investors. And I can tell you that I haven't talked to anyone that wants a house backed up to Interstate 80. And I also know that if you put 14 houses along our east property line, you're not going to get a commercial building on our east property line. If somebody's going to come in and try to deal with it, 14 or 15 people that are very passionate about their home, they just purchased it, they do not plan on leaving to try to get a store in there. They're going to go elsewhere where they're not going to have to deal with 14 or 15 property owners that just purchased a brand new house that they do not plan on leaving. Which I'm also very aware that it is not easy to lay out a flat like that, and being the first guy stepping in there, they can challenge. That doesn't look very well thought out. There's already changes being made, but we don't know what change we're going to adhere to, but we're going to accept an idea and change the zoning. Maybe you can't get everything pulled together and then the zoning's changed. And then I'm also hearing that we are still having issues with how we're going to get sewer to that area. And I also know that there's some issues with pumping stations down the road. We don't want to go that way. And the property we have has more water issues than this property does, as far as what's along the north side of this property on 80. That is a very expensive, touchy situation. It's really pretty to look at, but it's very expensive to own. If you don't get anything out of it, it's frogs. But I think it's important. I'm all for it. I personally would rather see our 150 acres stay as is. But I also know that that's not going to happen in the future sometime down the road, because the city is growing and very progressive. My caution, extra thought, is I promise to be in contact with everyone more. I only wish that there was maybe a little more consideration when people step in to develop an area, that they contact adjacent property owners everywhere, so that 5 miles down the road we have a really nice plan, instead of every 50 acres when somebody wants to or needs to sell, which they absolutely have that right, kind of needs a plan, because when one person's in, builds, sells, that sets the pace. Next guy that wants to do something, he may have 5 or 10 or 15 years of communication and efforts into it. Once that's set, all this effort is washed out, and that person starts over to match what is already existing. That's my
thank you.
Well said.
So we've kind of opened up for discussion again in the midst of a motion, but I think it's appropriate given the depth and breadth of what we're covering here. So one last call from the audience perspective. Anyone else, Dale, or anyone else there wish to input on this case or these cases? Seeing none, I'll come back. We have a motion on the table and a second. So we probably need to call for a vote on that, don't we? Mm-hmm. We do. And who made the motion again? Can we restate the motion again, just so I'm clear what the motion was? Was it to approve the case subject to? Okay. All right. All those in favor of the motion to approve cases 16062, 16063, and 16064, say aye.
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 That was three. Opposed? Aye.
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 Four.
There's only six. So three, three.
Three, three. One, two. Three. Okay.
I said aye twice. That's why.
So we're three to three.
Three to three.
I don't think this has ever happened.
So is that fair?
What happens in a draw?
It fails.
Okay.
All right.
There's
so
no majority
there's
approving.
No majority. So, where does that leave us with regard to the
so
point to do rezoning?
This came up at our last meeting as well, and the way the commission handled it was we did not take up the rezoning matter because the land use amendment failed. The applicant will still go to city council for their consideration of the land use amendment.
because there is not a positive recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission, the City Council would have to approve the land use amendment by the supermajority.
Yeah.
But that would be the next procedural step.
And I guess just comment-wise, based on our discussion, if a better-looking, workable plan came back, I think it would be approvable from this standpoint, without going through the whole site plan development, but just something that works a little better. And I think the comment, I didn't catch your name, from the adjacent owner to the west, and what Paul brought up kind of go together. We do have a new master plan that's been adopted and in the process of being implemented, and that master plan does really look to develop a more holistic approach to the development and more continuity across property lines. And I think it would be important to make that as functional as we can, because it does set the bar somewhat once this goes in, and what happens certainly within some proximity of it. And it's a pretty important corridor in the city up there. So with that said, I think if you would like to revise that a little bit and come back with something a little softer, maybe from that standpoint, it would be probably better received, Dale. Do you have another comment?
I guess I need your help. This is the seventh preliminary concept plan already. I need your help to tell me what you want.
Bill, how do we do that, Greg? Can't draw it for him, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to speak honestly. I don't know what you want. So I don't know how I can help Dale. This is a very difficult process for all of us. And, you know, we want to mix commercial with the residential. We might want to meet our guidelines for our comprehensive plan. We want to buffer the commercial from the residential. I don't know how to help Dale. So please, if anybody would like to stay after the meeting and talk to me, I'd be happy to talk. But
all right.
I'd love to help everybody. But I need to know what we need to do.
Well, I think part of my hang up, we discussed at the very end, if I don't want to approve a plan that we're going to have to come back and change the zoning after we've already rezoned it because we didn't get the commercial laid out the way we'd like to see it. So I think, you know, push comes to shove, that and the comment that we are setting the tone for the whole corridor with this development, those are the tipping points for me, and that's what sealed my vote to say I didn't approve.
Actually, for me, it was when Christine identified that kind of technical,
right.
But it's a big one, that if we approved what was presented, that hard line would be there, yeah, for the commercial and the residential, which we said conceptually needed to be commercial, and everybody agreed.
Mm-hmm. I think
is commercial.
That's what I wanted
residential.
To say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that tripped me over the edge, frankly, and I still would like to see a little more interest to the development from I don't know, what's the distance from Forest Grove to I-80? Is that a half section? Is that 2,600 feet? What is that? 2,200 feet. We got essentially a 2,200 foot straight line road. And I just, if there were some way to give it some interest, and that would be one of my things I'd be looking for.
One thing I might suggest is you have to understand, or we have to look at the future development on either side of this section. So to me, that means that you have to have connectivity to those sections. You know, that means, so your roads need to run east and west instead of north and south. So, and I know it's hard to do that in a very narrow piece of property, but somehow that has to be built in so that we can have a piece of commercial property to the west. You know, so because that's what this whole thing is going to be. It's supposed to be mixed use. And what I'm afraid of is what you're going to end up with. We can't put residents next to that, so that's going to be single family, and that's going to be single family, and that's going to be single family. So you need to connect them parallel to Forest Grove somehow, in my opinion.
The problem I see is we're set up rectangular. Everything is rectangular. our minds are rectangular on how we're doing this, but now we're trying to make a circle and put it in the middle, and it's not working for the developer nor anybody else. I'm not sure how you change from everything being set up on a grid and rectangular to now a circle, and then ask a developer to take his plot and create a circle in there and make sure he's paying attention to what this guy might do 10, 15, 20 years from now and what this guy might do. So we have a problem, and I understand, Bill, why you're saying, I don't know what you want. I don't think this is working the way it's supposed to, and it's going to take an awful lot of work to figure out how we're going
to
do that.
It may take the city to lay it out.
It may, but then you're requiring developers to the individual property owners and telling them you can't do what you want with your property, and that's going to lead to problems too. So there's an awful lot that needs to be worked out, and I can understand Dale's frustration and Bill's.
Okay, we'll chat afterwards then too. So, all right, that takes us through items through nine, right?
Yep.
Greg.
The next item on the agenda is this area here proposes a preliminary plat. At one time, only this area had been. It's part of a Miller Holdings proposal. But the area now has almost grown by two times in terms of the area being considered. You have State Street here. You've got Valley Drive right here. You've got a wetland feature right there, according to the Corps on their map. Essentially, you have a really large area. This is an existing house that has been accepted out of Keefe's addition. The remaining area right about here, this is all Keefe's. You go further on down, you're looking at an area that is a meets and bounds description. As you look at this from 62nd Street and State Street, you're looking at an entry right here. This whole area right here all the way over to where you enter into the subdivision over here, the Fields Addition, where Beartooth Court comes in. Essentially, you're looking at this entire area here as part of that preliminary plat. This is what is final platted at present. And this is a portion, this is the western portion that is somewhat of the half of this parcel that is already under consideration, that already is platted. So you're looking at basically this piece here as having been platted. And the preliminary, the right-of-way has already been dedicated, in, I believe, in this brown area. This is your outlot for detention, and there will have to be some means of designating this because it is on the map that we do have regarding wetlands and what the Corps and Iowa DNR may do. The entryway comes in like this. There's a cul-de-sac here. These lots are fed off of this street, and there's a potential to connect to Beartooth Court through a lot over here that has yet to be built upon. The developer at some point may have control of that lot to make that juncture possible, so there's some circulation being created. Much of this area is being platted for industrial type condos and other type industrial uses in the I-2 district. And this gives you a general overall view, a non-magnified view of how that looks. Again, with State Street here, there is no connection to Valley. All connection will come from here, potentially Beartooth Court through here, and then you'll have these lots, these smaller ones here, maybe for the condominiums in that area. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval with all the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission. Just one from my perspective, Greg, then some of the lot widths seem pretty narrow. I know they were on Beartooth Court too, but especially when we come in and we've got the setback where you hit the T intersection, you got a 25-foot side yard and you got a 25-foot front yard. Still feel like that's a developable lot for an industrial type use?
I think what we're looking at is maybe in the developer, I believe he's here, he could elaborate upon that, but we've seen that with these two lots at Beartooth Court. We're going to see another project tonight where you're probably going to have that same indication with one lot that was already built on, it was rather large, but then two smaller lots at the entry. But it's something that other portions of the city have confronted. It's something that's very clearly stated on the plat to an individual who would be potentially purchasing this, and I believe the developer who did Beartooth Court has a pretty good familiarity with what may or may not fly in that regard, but he's the one who is aware of that condition.
You can park in that setback then, can't you?
No.
No, not even parking in the setback?
No, not unless you have a variance.
Any comments from the developer? I see him in the back.
My name is Kevin Kellner. I'm the developer for the project, and Greg's right. We did Beartooth Court as well. The idea behind that is you can, some people want a smaller lot, a half acre lot, but a lot of times they'll get joined together. So it just gives you a little more flexibility to lay out different sizes of buildings. So we don't know, obviously, you know, with where we're at right now, what exactly, you know, inquiries we're going to get or what sizes, but we're just doing it for flexibility. It worked out well over at Beartooth.
So, for example, 3 and 4 could end up being merged into a user?
Correct.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened with the first 4 on the west side of Beartooth. The 4 lots became 2 lots once they were combined, 2 and 2.
Yeah. Any other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case?
What's next to where the water retention area is? What's just to the west? There's an outline. Is that where the back end, is that part of that? Water, is that a water retention area, or what is that?
I think those are just topo lines that fill hasn't been completed back there. So that would be filled.
That's filled all the way.
Similarly, yeah, similar to what is over closer to the house. That area will be filled in. I think it's a few feet above Valley Drive, if I remember right, to be floodplain compliant.
Okay, anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope, come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16068, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16068, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. 16.08 is approved. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we're looking at two cases here, the preliminary as well as the final plat of Sunset West Edition. It's located here in Century Heights 20th. It is actually lot 17 of Century Heights 20th, and it was a lot that was remaining. This house will remain, I believe, on site.
The house or the barn. That's the barn.
Yeah.
There's the house.
Yeah. The house will remain there, but this is was going to be subdivided. That was the intent when you saw this at some point. This is the preliminary plat and showing the means of entry vis-a-vis access, the house here, the barn there, and then we have 5 lots involved. You have sanitary sewer coming up for these two here. You have the sanitary for all 3 over on this side, and then you'll have the water and whatever else coming from this direction to service the area. This is the former lot 17, Century Heights 20th edition, that essentially is now being broken up into 5 pieces. And here is the final plat showing the access easement area right here for those last 2, or those 4 and 5 lot area. And then the accesses can come off here, I believe, for lots 1, 2, and 3. But in reviewing this, staff would look at this and recommend approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
So, Greg, you were just highlighting the ingress there off Pigeon Creek Road. Does that come in T, and then those other, the rest of Outlot C, is Outlot C the road access then?
This is, I don't know what the feature is intended for that, but it is not part of that access easement. It is an actual outlot.
Hmm. And so I guess it's a little box. So you come in from Pigeon Creek, and then you've got a tee up?
You'll basically fan out in that direction like
so
that.
So those, it doesn't go parallel with the front of those lots on 4 and 5. Those, looks like there's a...
There's a setback right there. Here. This is a setback. This easement is right here. This is where the access easement is.
Okay.
But you do have, because you're adjoining lot 4, you don't need an easement. You just simply pull into lot 4, and then you're on to lot 5.
And what about the gravel road access that comes in from the east?
I don't know what the intent is. I think it is probably to not have that as an access, but I think the developer may be here. He could elaborate upon that.
Hi, I'm Daryl Yose. I'm one of the three partners in this project, and I'm not sure. You're talking about the gravel road that's existing and goes down there to the east. That's all going to be abandoned.
Okay. And that's and a then private that road.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, is that a private road now?
Correct. Okay. It comes in from Criswell.
Right.
As part of the Hess, you know, area there, and that outlot C is where the current well is at, and we've got a verbal permission from the county to go ahead and keep that well intact and use that for outside watering for lot 4 and 5.
Nice. That'll save them the water bill.
That's the intent.
Sorry, city.
That's the intent. So yes.
Yeah. Okay, great, that helps. Any other questions from the commission on that? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, thank you. Turn back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 16-069, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16-069, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16-09 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve. Are we going to do the final plat? Approve
yep.
Case 16-070, the final plat for Sunset West, subject to staff recommendations. Second.
Okay, we're keeping the pattern up. We got a motion and a second to approve case 16-070, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16-070 is also approved. Okay, Greg?
The area, and you're almost right nearby, we're looking at the settlement of Pigeon Creek 8th Edition, which is below the project we just looked at, which is right here. This is a pretty minor change. These lots right here, 27 through 32, and what you're looking at is each of these have a box right here about where that lowest floor elevation can be. Well, in reevaluating where any drainage may be and also in regards to any grading, those were all changed to reflect these new levels right here to make sure that there is no 100-year event that would be within 2 feet of that lowest floor elevation. And that's essentially what you're looking at in terms of the changes. We're looking at this as an amended plat, and to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of an issue without moving any boundaries. We're just simply looking at these elevations, and it's more of a correction that is digital in terms of and we can call it an error, but a recalibration as opposed to being a total replat where they're moving of boundaries, things of that nature. And staff in reviewing this would recommend approval. I just ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve case 15-027, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second, which was tied, to approve case 15-027, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 15-027 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we have here a replat from the developer here of Everest Summit, and this is essentially the outline of the entire parcel. It is not everything involved that is inside this parcel. We have the original plat, and approximately this lot area right here is what is being replatted so that the developer might be able to extend the boundaries of these lots 10 feet further to the west. And as you can see, these are the lots right here that are involved with this replatting. It will permit decks to be installed on the backs of these units. And this is an addendum to one of the areas that is involved in it as well. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend your approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Yeah, I have one, I think, Greg. So essentially, there's this much of the property. This much was a lot, and now it's going to be 10 feet more.
Be 10
it's
feet in addition the for these lots right okay. here on up.
We're not making more ground. Each. We're just making more platted as a
what
lot.
What you're doing is the encroachment area is up here, and then you're looking at keeping it out of the floodplain, and the amount of land taken from the outlot has no impact on the storage capacity of the detention basin.
Okay.
If I can, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Basically, the developer decided they wanted to put 10-foot decks in the rear of the units. It would have been in a setback by adding 10 foot to the length of the lot.
Okay.
It makes it compliant. So,
questions from the commission? Otherwise, nope. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay, come back.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 16-059, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16-059, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16-059 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, this is a replatting of 8 lots in Spencer Hollow Edition. And the area right here we're looking at with the aqua outline is essentially that area. What the petitioner wants to do is give an additional 6 feet along this area or pathway for rec path essentially. And here's Spencer Hollow second edition. There is an area 6 feet that is being taken in addition for all of these lots here along LV Lane. Staff, in looking at this, it was just a minor change, but yet significant enough that the area had to be replatted in order that the city may control this area for that particular walk area. Staff, in reviewing this, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
I guess I just need a clarification. Is this for a sidewalk? Is this for,
yeah,
okay.
Pretty much. I mean, to make it, I believe, wider.
Yeah. So it's not in the street, like a recreation trail bike lane. It's
no.
A sidewalk.
If you recall, the subdivision was platted with streets on both sides of the lots. Mm-hmm. The developer looked at it and said, I really want to soften that. So he came in and put a berm in and also put a meandering sidewalk in there. It's not part of the trail. It's the same sidewalk you may have in front of your house in a
okay.
residential subdivision. It actually looks quite nice, and I think it'll make the lots buffer a little bit better from the two street frontages.
Mm-hmm. Helps establish the front versus the back. And,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions? Anyone sorry, in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16060 Spencer Hollow second edition replat. subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'm going to ask one question in a discussion point. Bill, there's a note, or Greg, said staff recommendations are unresolved, which was unresolved, level list prior. So what was unresolved that we're getting fixed now?
Nothing I'm aware of.
I don't know.
Chairman.
Am I on the right one? Spencer Hollow, it said, listed these lots prior to city council, this plat, which was unresolved from Spencer Hollow, first edition. Is that on there?
I don't know what that may refer to.
I think we just resolved them.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. That was easy. Okay, so all those in favor of approving 16060, subject to staff recommendations, which have been clarified, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. 16060 is approved. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this came before us. This tower is intended for use by the Iowa Highway Patrol for communications. It's located in this rest stop that is just within our city limits, and the tower would be placed in the southeast corner of this particular parcel. If you were to enter this site, and as you're leaving, you would look over to your right, you have a picnic area right here. And then you have this area with a great deal of grass growing back in this region. The tower is intended to be placed back in this area. And then you would have an entryway that would come back through here to get back to that tower. This is essentially where the tower is right here, and this is your parcel. This is basically looking at the topographical area of this particular site, and the tower is going to be placed back in that corner. This is the site plan, and it does show this trail that comes back to the tower, which will be placed here. It's 300 feet in height, and it has enough clearance so that if it, for some odd reason, it were to go this direction or this one, it would be out of the picnic areas. And this would be the best approximation to make sure, of course, it doesn't fall in this direction. And staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with those conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission. We've had a tower area kind of designated in the past, but that would be down in town where we've got a bunch of them. Do we have any other 300-foot towers? Is the one over by Whitey's, is that a 300-foot tower? Or is that even more?
Those actually are higher, some of them, I believe. One may even be over 400 feet in height.
Okay. I don't think we have any communication towers that are that high.
Yeah, this is basically for telecommunications as opposed to the others, which are AM radio, FM, and television.
Okay. Any other questions for the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay. Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 16-057, the site development plan subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
It's a double second.
Oh. Yeah, it is. Okay.
Roll off.
All right. We have a motion and a second to approve case 16057, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16057 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, this is the site development plan, the other one that's before us tonight. And this is along State Street. You come in and enter through here. This has just been recently paved, this area. Now it's the Legacy Edition. You have the East Fork and the West Fork of Pigeon Creek running through here. This is the site right now, a definite improvement over what we had before in terms of paving and other utilities being placed on the locale. This is the lot right here. that we're looking at, essentially lot 7 for the site plan. As part of the preliminary platting, there one time was a 100-year floodplain that was designated. The areas that are necessary for fill throughout have now been filled so that that 100-year flood mark has taken potential buildings or structures 2 feet above that mark. The compensation for that fill was taken out in this area here to add further storage potentially for stormwater coming in here on the East Fork of Pigeon Creek. All stormwater will be conveyed to either one of these creeks, because to get this water out immediately and have it going to the Mississippi River, we consider that to be an important aspect of stormwater detention, is to release it, get this out so that the upflow stream flow can come down here from places that are farther removed. A storm will have ended, this water will be evacuated, and then this water can come down, keeping more of an even keel in the flow of that water. What we have are 4 construction or contractor condominiums, as we call them. There will be a parking space, I believe, in each one of these. We also have sufficient parking out here. The landscape requirements were met with all the trees, the plantings that are here as proposed. And the apron area, the developer has also agreed to make sure that that's adequate, that it blends in with the new street that's just been placed in. And this is a magnified view of the structure and the 4 units and then the means of entry. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask you, are there any questions?
Just one, and you referenced that the parking is adequate. So what are we using for the parking gauge here? Is it square footage? Is it use? What
we looked at the use that was going in from this proposal of the office type building, plus we looked at the warehouse type function. We looked at there being a vehicle for each one of these units, so that would constitute an employee. And then we looked at the way that the office structure would break down by square footage, and that's how we essentially determined the count.
Potentially, then, these units could have parking inside?
I believe there might be one space inside. I believe the developer's here. He could elaborate, maybe.
My name is Steve Zell. I'm the owner-developer. They are going to, like Greg said, they're going to be set up as construction condos, and I would think there'd be at least one space inside, because there's going to be an overhead door at each one of the condos. And then it would also give them the ability to have a small office if they wanted to, and then there's also going to be restroom facilities in each one of the condos.
Questions from the commission? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 16061, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16061, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 16061 is approved. And I think that takes us to commission updates, doesn't it, Bill?
Mr. Chairman, subsequent to your last meeting, your recommendation for the approval of Morrill's first edition was approved by council. The Haley Heights third reading of the rezoning and the final plat were approved. Creek Ridge Estates second edition land use amendment that you recommended against, they decided not to proceed to the city council with that. And we are continuing to diligently work on the zoning ordinance. We'd certainly like to get that behind us and get it adopted. I think it'll make life for all of us much easier. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, appreciate the update, Bill. And Lisa, you're off the hook. It's 6:49. You don't have to get the pizza because that was at 7. So, all right, and then we will have a little chat with Dale if so interested. I didn't think that's healthy. So any other business for this evening? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Thanks.